gracious Heavenly Father, truly, Lord, you have made all of us glad, O Lord. We can feel the happiness, we can feel the rejoice, we can feel the strength because, O Lord, you loved us first. And Lord, without thy grace, O Lord, none of us would be standing here, O Lord.
Amen.
So, Lord, we are glad that we all came to receive the word and we all came to praise and worship thee, O Lord, in spirit as one body of Christ. Lord, truly, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. And Lord, right now, everyone who is standing here, we are strong.
Amen.
Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, O Lord.
Amen.
And just because of that, today, right now, we are all strong, O Lord.
Amen.
Lord, without you, we are nothing. Without you, we are weak. Without you, we will be perished. But with you, Lord, there is no power in this world can make us weary. There is no power in this world can make us to be a failure. Because, O Lord, we all have the victory in Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. Help us to rely on you. Help us to depend on you. And help us to understand that we are nothing without you. And you are our everything, O Lord. For God is good. Everything that happens in our life, as long as we hold on to you, as long as we believe you, as long as we love you from all our heart, it will work together for good, O Lord. Because, O Lord, we are called to love you, we are called to serve you. Lord, you are the only one who can justify our calling, and you are the only one who can prove our calling. And if at all we can do something, O Lord, we can only yield in thy presence for the Master to do the work according to thy will and thy pleasure, O Lord. That is the reason we are all here as one body of Christ. Teach us, guide us, purge us, prune us, and wash us. Do whatever you want, O Lord, because we belong to you. Help us to submit ourselves, O Lord, to thee. O Lord, we pray that you teach us that we may always, always surrender our everything to thee, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful worship. We thank you for thy presence. And we believe that you will speak to all our hearts. And Lord, cut our hearts, O Lord, to instill the values that you want us to hold on to. The goodness, the righteousness, to grow in our faith. Lord, make our heart to be more sensitive to your voice.
Amen.
Bless us, O Lord, that we will always be listening to thy voice.
Amen.
Help us to listen to your sweet music, O Lord. You always speak the soft-spoken voice. Help us to rest in thy presence.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we pray and we sanctify this place, our hearts, the whole congregation as a holy place for you, O Lord.
Amen.
Tabernacle in the midst of us. And the Lord,
Amen.
We pray in the mighty name of Jesus, soak us in thy reign, in thy presence.
Amen.
And I surrender the sermon and all our hearts, our minds in thy mighty hands. Speak to us and take complete control of all of us. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all, my dear brethren. Maybe you are seated. Greetings to you all, overseas brethren, who are joining from different parts of the world. But you are all here with us right now. Amen. We thank the Lord for uniting us, whoever we are, wherever we are. When the Lord decides to assemble his children, there is nothing can stop it. Amen. So we thank the Lord that the Lord called all of us today to stand in the holy presence, to listen to his voice, to meditate upon his word. I thank the Lord for the last 7 days for all of us because we are able to gather today. Amen. Those who put in last week because of some health issues, we thank the Lord for the healing and the testimony that they are here. It is not a small thing to be able to walk into the church and to praise the Lord and worship the Lord in spirit. It is not a small thing because we cannot do it. May the Lord continue to teach us as we grow day by day. Today we will continue the journey the Lord is leading us concerning the Ark of the Covenant, as we are focusing on ourselves, comparing the lessons that we should take from Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, and the leader of Israel, the servant of God, Moses. So, when we started, we only focused on Moses and Saul. Then the Moses from Egypt became the Moses, the leader of Israel. And the Saul who was persecuting Christians is about to become the Paul who will serve the Lord for the church ages. But there are two other people whom the Lord used mightily. They are no less compared to the other servants of God. For Moses, it was Aaron. And for Apostle Paul, it was Apostle Peter. Because Peter was the first to address the crowd. Peter was the first to heal the lame. Peter was the first to speak to the people. And he was the first by whom the Lord baptized 3,000 souls. Amen. A very first speech after the Pentecost yielded and added 3,000 souls to them. The Lord did not say the souls were added to Christ. The Bible clearly tells us the souls were added to them. Them represents who? The apostles. When the Lord said, let us create the man in our image, he always talked plural, right? He did not single himself out. Only when he says, I am the Lord, I will not yield my glory to anyone. When he teaches people, if I cannot dwell in the midst of you, people separate themselves from the Lord. So the Lord cannot identify himself with them. Then he would not use the word we or us. He will say I. Because he is holy, he is almighty. But when the Lord takes the privilege of the apostles who yielded themselves to be the perfect vessel of God, when the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord rests upon them, he don't separate them. He cannot separate them because he is in them. When the Lord's Spirit is in them, you can see in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, he used the word plural. Us, them, we. Because the Spirit of the Lord is resting upon the servant, because of that, God has filled him by himself. So, he do not single himself out, but rather, he embraced the servants as if he and them are the same. When Jesus said, I and my Father are one, and when Jesus said, you and me are one, abiding in his word makes us to reach a state where God will say, come, let us go and do this. When God says, you belong to me, I embrace you, let's go and build this building together. When we say we are the fellow workers of God, it is not a simple verse for us to claim. Nobody can say, I am a fellow worker, a fellow builder of God. We can't simply say, I am God's husbandry. Only God can make you to be someone. And when he can do that, when the Spirit of the Lord resting upon you, then the Lord can do anything he wants. Until that happens, we are nothing but a servant or a child who is crying against the father, fighting with the father, arguing, bargaining, until the child understands, I am nothing, I am going to do whatever my father says. Then the Lord will start molding the vessel for his use. And the Bible says it's not just his use, it says his pleasure. Amen. The Lord takes pleasure when he is able to find someone who can be a glove for him, who can be a vessel for him to do his work. That is what happened with Peter. And that is why when Jesus said, when the 70 returned with joy, because they were able to heal, because they were able to cast demons, because they were able to perform miracles, Jesus said, do not be happy because of these extra fittings. Do not look at the decoration. Be happy, rejoice, because right now, you are standing on the foundation. When the Lord says, your names are written in the book of life, he says, your feet is standing firm on the foundation. Both are same. They are actually same words, same meaning, same revelation. You can't take it out. Those are like the reflection of two sides of two different of same coin. Standing on the foundation means your names are written in the book of life. So, I was meditating on why when the two men in white apparel, so they met the disciples after the ascension, and they met Mary after the death of Jesus, who was looking for the tomb. Remember, the Bible says Jesus stood by her, but Mary could not recognize who he is. Remember? Because just few verses before, she was proclaiming her state of mind, because she was looking for the Lord, she was looking for the tomb, and she was saying certain things that she shouldn't have said. Of course, we are all learning. Then she was taught by the two white men in apparel, don't worry, do not look for the body of Christ. Nobody can hold him, death cannot hold him. He will come and visit you. But still, when she returned, Jesus was standing next to her, but she could not recognize him. If we cannot discern the voice of the Lord, if we cannot understand the work of the Lord in our life, in our daily life, our eyes are also blurred because of our busyness in this world, the weariness of our heart. So many things can make us to be insensitive. The reason why when Apostle Peter spoke to the people, we have two translations, right? In King James, we say something pricked the heart. In New King James Version, it says cut to the heart. Amen? Cut to the heart. Circumcision. But why I am bringing all of this? Let's do not forget, Peter did not do a single miracle to baptize the 3,000 souls. He did not perform any miracle. He did not show them any sign. He did not try to gain their trust or attention. He went, spoke the word, rebuked them. He just told whatever the Spirit of the Lord led him to speak. And that speech, those words, added 3,000 souls to them. Them represents what? Church. And who is the head of the church? Christ. You have to understand why the word was not written, 3,000 souls were added to the Lord. The Lord honors his servants by hiding behind him. You remember when the Lord says, if someone touch you, they touch the apple of my eye. Amen? When Jesus said, if someone hate you, they hate me first. Why the Lord says such things? Why he is always the first one to be in the battle? A true king, a mighty king, will be the first one to get the arrow on the chest. But the world where we live in, the most supreme leader will be the last one to be injured in any war. Most importantly, they won't even get outside the room. But in those days, if you know the history, king will be the one to take the first step in the field, battlefield. And we serve such a king. Our Lord is mighty in battle. But he told us, your fight is to hold on to love and peace. You fight that battle. He never asked us to take revenge or avenge or frustration or fight. He told us, hold your peace and love. That is the biggest battle that you can overcome in your life. Because he is mighty in battle. When he comes for the day of the Lord to fight against all the enemies, he will gain victory over anyone who is going to stand against him. But the Lord wants us to come victorious in the battle that he has given us. Your feet shodden to preach the gospel of peace. So now I'm asking you, when Apostle Peter was rebuking those souls who were listening to him, was he holding on to love and peace? Yes. He didn't curse them. He didn't tell them that you would never understand. He didn't express his frustration. We do not know in what tone he spoke, but we can only believe he spoke in such a way the Spirit of the Lord spoke through him. By doing so, we read 3,000 souls were added to them without a single sign, without a single miracle. Then why over time we read Peter said, Tabitha, arise. And she arose. So I'm asking all of us, including me, do we need a miracle to say, Lord, I trust you? To say, Lord, I love you. To say, Lord, now I see, I believe you. Do we need a miracle? Are we in such a requirement? Are we in such a state? We have to be very careful. When Jesus performs miracle, we always have to study to whom he performed, in what place he performed, what is the context, and why he needed to perform a miracle to seek attention, to receive that attraction from those souls. We are not in that category. That is the growth the Lord wants all of us to see. We do not need a physical miracle to revive our strength, to renew our spirit. All of us are able to say, praise the Lord, in our pain is a miracle in your life. Every one of us who had a lot of hits in your life, strong storm, you lost anything, but still you are able to walk into the church every single Sunday, is a miracle. It's a miracle that is much more bigger than the Red Sea into two. You know why? When Apostle Peter spoke, the Bible says, the heart cut when the words were spoken, when people listened to him, the Bible says, something pricked with the heart, it cut to the heart. Amen? What was the result? 3,000 souls were baptized. The Bible did not say baptized. It says added to them. Salvation is done. The Lord had chosen the people who listened to Apostle Peter's voice. Now, let's compare. When Moses raised his hand, the Red Sea was split into two. The multitude of Israel were able to walk in the dry land. Amen? When Apostle Paul spoke to the multitude, the heart was divided into two, and the word pierced through to the soul, and they were able to gladly receive the truth. 3,000 souls were added. So now the question is, the massive miracle, so physical, so huge, the huge Red Sea was split into two, to the outward appearance, multitudes are walking to the dry land, the armies of Pharaoh is destroyed. On the same time, on the other hand, Apostle Peter speaking to a smaller crowd compared to what Moses was doing to the larger multitude, and the army is coming, it's a very big scene, right? It's huge, to the outward appearance. But how many souls walked into the promised land? Those who crossed the Red Sea. Now let's compare the number. 3,000 souls were added just by a single speech by Apostle Peter. No Red Sea, no miracle, no sign, nothing fancy, nothing physical, just the utterance of the word by the Spirit. 3,000 souls were separated from darkness, called into the marvelous light. Not just that, they accepted Christ and they were baptized. So now, what is our desire? And what miracle that we want to see? If at all we must pray for a miracle, the miracle is, Lord, do a miracle in my life that every single day I hold on to you. Every single day, whatever happens in my life, cut to my heart, speak to me, so that I won't be perished. That miracle cannot be seen by anyone. Even your eyes cannot see it. But if you are able to stand firm, do not forget to thank the Lord. You have been in a miracle. You have been part of a miracle. It's not that the miracle is over. The miracle continues. You know why? The day the Lord forsakes us, that is the day there is no room, no hope for any miracle. Which means people like us who are sinners, short of the glory of the Lord, still able to praise and worship in spirit, and we have a place to gather in one shelter under the roof, not this roof, the name, the banner of His love. If you think it's not a miracle in such a time where we live, then I don't know what you can call it as a miracle. It is a miracle. It is bigger than the Red Sea into two. Because Red Sea into two, it was not a guaranteed miracle for souls to walk into the promised land. It was a very physical miracle to excite the unfaithful people who were looking for signs and wonders. Now let's remember, the very first crowd addressing moment when Aaron spoke to the people of Israel, Moses put the words in his mouth. Amen. And God put the word in the mouth of Moses. Remember? But Aaron and Moses had to perform some wonders and signs. When people saw those miracles and signs, the Bible says they believed in the Lord and they decided to follow them. On the other side, before the beginning of the spiritual exodus, the beginning of the new church age, it was not Apostle Paul who started the first church. It was Apostle Peter. The very first crowd addressing event had no miracles, no wonders, no signs, but people believed in the Lord, trusted in the word, and they gladly received the word, And they were baptized, not one or two, 3,000. So that's why the meditator, what Aaron did, except speaking the word, all those signs and wonders is nothing but vanity. What does it mean? Throw the rod, become serpent, take it back, becomes rod again. Is it going to save our life? Are we going to walk into the eternity by just looking at this sign? Signs and wonders are nothing but that bush which just used to get the attraction or attention of a soul to see what's going on. Because we are all busy in this noisy world. Amen. But once we start growing in the Lord, we do not need signs. We do not need wonders. We do not need any physical miracles. Apostle Paul had no miracles in his life. He was keep on suffering. He was actually getting worse and worse and worse day by day. But he was receiving miracles that the world cannot see. It was growing rapidly. Grace abound. The anointing was increasing rapidly. And that was a miracle in the life of Apostle Paul. And as we all see, the 3,000 people were baptized when Apostle Peter spoke. But do you see, there was a miracle happening in the life of Peter himself, who was cornered, isolated, rejected because of what he did before the Calvary. Even the whole disciples, everybody who knows Jesus, they would have judged Peter that that's it, his life is gone, because he denied Christ 3 times. Who is he? How can he can become an apostle? Many people might have raised their question, they might have judged him. The Lord blessed him and used him as a vessel to tabernacle him, and the Spirit spoke, people baptized. So Apostle Peter, he was going through a miracle of himself to be used as a covenant, as an ark for the Lord to dwell in him, to do something marvelous, miraculous, that never ever happened before. Was there any record in the Bible, 3,000 people added to them before that even? No. That was the biggest miracle happened, and that too it was through Apostle Peter. It was a miracle for Peter, which world cannot see, he cannot go and boast about, but he was there as a mere empty vessel. That is why today we will continue to meditate from this state of mind, which is, if the Lord had put in his word in us, in you, in me, in all of us, and if he has given us a portion of faith to all of us, which is growing, we all have different experience. Amen. Today, among this maybe 20-30 people, right now, some of you are happy, some of you are strong, some of you are weak, some of you are weary, some of you are sick. Not all of us are in the same state of mind. Can you see? We would never be. But the Lord called all of us to conform to his image, to have the mind of Christ. And that is the perfection we are moving towards. And the Lord says, hold your hands, walk together, because you need each other. And I stand here, but all of us, remember the feet washing communion, that is the true state of the church. Amen. Everyone serves everyone. Everyone is a servant to one another. That is the church. There is only one master, there is only one head, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if the Lord says, I want to dwell in the midst of you, same as Peter, what would be the consequence? Souls will be added to them. So, in all the churches, all the church ages, all the prophets, all the servants of God, if you look very deeply from Old Testament to the book of Acts, the Lord was adding souls. Physically or spiritually, or by rebuking or by delivering them from captive, one way or other, it was always, always about bringing his children back home. Bringing his children to where they belong. In Old Testament, it was from Egypt to Canaan. In New Testament, it was from the carnal, worldly earth to the earth that will be regenerated. To the physical land of Jerusalem to the spiritual, divine, new, holy city, Jerusalem. And this spiritual exodus, similar to the miracle of Red Sea, which was seen by all the people, similar to the spiritual miracle of Apostle Peter, which cannot be seen by anyone, our spiritual exodus, no one can see. The Bible says, the world do not see you because you do not belong to them. If at all the worldly things can see us, we have to ask ourselves, something wrong. I think I changed my clothes to something else. When we clothe the spirit of pride, the spirit of truth, the cloth of the salvation, the word bride, world cannot see us. They cannot see what we are doing for the Lord. They cannot see our spiritual growth. Because we are not here to boast as Pharisees and Sadducees. Amen. What happened between Apostle Peter and the people is a timeless example for all the seven church ages. We must present ourselves as an empty vessel to the Lord. We must yield ourselves to the Lord. We should do thanksgiving to the Lord, what the Lord promised all His prophets in the Old Testament, because we have to understand the sequence of how Apostle Peter spoke. He did not talk about their group. He talked about Prophet Joel first. Then he established the communication step by step to teach the people, men of Judea, men of Israel, men and brethren. And the people reconciled and said, men and brethren, what we should do. And he said, repent and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only method, only strategy that the Lord wants to use in all church ages. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, where we are here right now. That is the calling of the Ark of the Covenant. If the Lord wants to put His word in you, the Bible says, the living word works effectively in me according to the will and pleasure of God. Amen? Why? Why? Why the living word needs to work in you effectively if the Lord is not going to do any work through you? The Lord will add the souls to Him through the churches. The Lord will bring the souls through Him, through the ministries, the people of God, the family of God, the fellowship that He has established. Then He will say, I am pleased, my faithful servant, because I was able to use you as my glove to do according to my will and pleasure. And then He will say, I am pleased. So at that point of time, Peter did something that pleased God. Then you remember in Ecclesiastes, God will give His knowledge and His wisdom to those who look good in His sight. It's not easy. How can I know that do I look good in His sight? The answer is in the Bible. If at all we want the knowledge and wisdom of God, the Lord says, you have to look good in my sight. When I look at you, I should behold the beauty of how you live. I should be proud of how you live. But we also know that fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. But the Lord says, if you look good in my sight, I will give you my knowledge and wisdom. But here we say, fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge and wisdom. So, if we all have the fear of the Lord, can we say that we will look good in His sight? Amen. The reverence and the honor that we have for the Lord and His word, the fear that we have for who He is, will open our eyes to look clearly, to be of conscience where we stand, how we speak, how we think, why we serve Him. That will open our eyes for the Lord to give His knowledge and wisdom. That's it. After that, you will be led by the Holy Spirit. Peter, what he spoke on that day to those multitudes, is a lesson for ages. Because there was zero miracles, zero signs, zero wonders, no encouragement, nothing. The Lord prepared the hearts of the one who is going to speak, and the Lord prepared the hearts of those who are about to receive. There was a breaking and there was a making. It all happened at the same time. That is called spiritual circumcision. It happened at the same time. He did not do it twice. Amen. There is no event in the Bible the Lord had to do twice. He don't need second chance. He do not need plan B. He only has only one plan. The perfect will of His word. Now, let's continue. Let's go to the book of Acts. Dear Brother Kalaman, please read from verse 37 to 47. Book of Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 47.
Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
So what Brother Clement read just now, those 10 verses, let's start from here. On the same day, not tomorrow, not some other day, the seed was sown and the harvest was done on the same day. Peter spoke, people listened to him, cut to the heart, they gladly received. After that, we read very carefully, and verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Unto them. Not to the church, not to the Lord, not to God directly, but through them to the Lord. Amen. Whether we eat or drink, we glorify the Lord. Now, and verse 43, please read this. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, you see, we talk about the wonders and signs done by the apostles. But why Peter did not do anything when he addressed the crowd? When the Lord blessed his servant to be a gifted servant for him, it is the responsibility of the servant to yield himself, to meditate, to wait upon the Lord, to listen to his voice, what to do, when to do, and how to do. Amen? Apostle Peter, he had all the gifts. Because he told Tabitha, arise, and she arose. He healed the lame. You know what happened after that. He performed a lot of miracles. But at that point of time, after the Pentecost, he did not do anything else other than speaking. Because that is the most important gift of all. To cover the gift, best gift of all. What is it? Prophecy. What is it? To be able to present ourselves as an empty vessel to the Lord, for the Lord to tabernacle himself in you to speak. And it happened in the life of Apostle Peter, and 3,000 souls added to them, and verse 43 says, fear came upon every soul. And that verse comes with wonders and signs. Now, we remember the people of Israel. In Exodus, when Aaron did the signs and wonders, and Moses did accordingly what the Lord said, when they spake the words of what the Lord said, remember, those words are not the same as what or how Apostle Peter spoke. The context was entirely different. Remember the words that God told Moses, go and tell them, the God of Abraham, God of Jacob, God of Isaac will deliver you from this captivity. And Moses is a servant the Lord had chosen to deliver them. And Moses said, they won't believe me. How do they believe me? Show me some signs. And the Lord gave him some signs. Then Moses said, I cannot speak, I'm not eloquent. Then the Lord sent Aaron. You could see it is totally on a different extreme of everybody where in unbelief, and the Lord started the journey by teaching them step by step. But there was an anger kindled against Moses when the Lord was speaking and Moses keep on rejecting what the Lord was trying to tell him. But here, it already happened before in the life of Simon. Peter did not escape that valley. It happened to him before the death of Jesus. Last Sunday we meditated when Jesus called Simon, Simon, I have prayed for thy faith. And the Lord said, I have prayed for thy faith, but still you are going to deny me thrice. He said that. So he prayed for the faith of Peter to be the apostle Peter who will be performing his miracles after his ascension, when the Comforter has come in his life. So Ark of the Covenant, as we are trying to learn by the grace of God, what is our calling, what is our responsibility based on the seeds that the Lord has sown in your life? It is very personal. Nobody knows. Only you and the Lord knows. all the miracles, all the testimonies, how the Lord blessed you, how the Lord touched you, how the Lord chastened you. It is a story that belongs to you and the Lord. Like how we sing the song, this is my story, this is my song. It is your story, it is my story, it is our story as a church when we come together as one body of Christ. But the personal intimacy relationship that you have with your Lord, is the Lord is very interested about that. So when the Lord was speaking very specifically to Simon, he told him, I pray for you. But still Simon did not understand what the Lord was telling. He was explaining how he's going to protect Jesus. Like how Moses was speaking something else. What happened between Moses and God, it also happened between Simon and the Lord when the Lord was speaking to him. It also happened to all of us at some point of our life. Nobody can escape the path of growing. There is no shortcut to the growth in our spiritual life. We all can relate this in our life somehow. How we were in the beginning and how we were in the middle and how we are today. That will teach us a lot how the Lord carried us all the way here. So now, when the fear came upon every soul, many wondrous signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. Now see, verse 44 says, we talk about fear, then we talk about they whoever believed, they were together. What is the next thing? They had all things common. Unity of faith, one accord, one mind, was only represented before the Pentecost when the apostles gathered for prayers. And on the day of Pentecost, we read, they were of one accord and they were in one place. Amen. Now, what do you mean by together? Now, are we together? Yes, we are all together. Only if we are all worshipping the Lord in spirit. But no matter if I stand here and say something, but if my spirit is not here, I am not together with you. Even those who are not physically here, but if they are worshipping the Lord in spirit, they are together. So the place, when the Lord says, this is the holy place, and the Lord says, those who are united in spirit, they are together in one place. And what is that place, my brethren? Standing in His presence is the place the Lord wants us to be. There is no other place that is safer, that is holy, that is sanctified for the Lord to tabernacle Himself. So when the Lord says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, He says, when I dwell in you, then you became the temple of the Holy Ghost. Not before that. Not before that, right? Until the Lord rests upon us, witness with our spirit, we cannot say, I worship the Lord in spirit. Because the Lord, if the Lord cannot hear our voice, then we are not speaking in the language that He is desiring us to see. Now you see, when these people believed, they had all things in common, verse 45 says, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. In Exodus, when the Lord told the people of Israel to follow the leaders Aaron and Moses, remember the Lord told them to bring the spoils, gold, jewels with them. Amen? But what they did? Later, the jewel and gold and the possession were separated, but people put it together to build a golden calf. But here the Lord says, those people who heard the word, who received the truth gladly, who were baptized, they brought all their possessions and goods together and parted them to all men. So here, people brought it together, then they distributed, shared across. But in the Old Testament in Exodus, people had everything. They did not bring it together until the day when they became one as evil, when Moses was with God on the mountain. They were torturing Aaron and they made the golden calf. How they made? They put all their gold together, melted it and made a small tower of Babel. Correct? Whatever you do against the Lord, together as one group of enemy, you are actually building the tower of Babel. Nothing there, nothing much. God will always come and scatter you. What happened on that day? How many people died on that day? Anyone? How many people died on that day when the Lord visited them? 3,000. Yes, let's go. Let's read that chapter again. Let's read the chapter. The golden calf situation. Exodus chapter 32. I want us to focus on one important verse when the Lord told Moses. Verse 3 you see, and all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with the graving tool, and after he made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Now, this what happened, and Aaron was there, was doing this. But look at verse 7. Please read verse 7, remembering that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Keep that verse in your mind. Read verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." You see the verse, how the Lord puts everything on the head of Moses. Who delivered the people of Israel from Egypt? It was the Lord himself. Moses did not do anything. It was not Moses' desire to redeem them from the hands of Egypt. It was God. But now God says, "Hey Moses, you are with me, we are discussing on the mountain," but he says, "Go, get thee down. You are on the top of the mountain, now you go down." He says, "Which for thy people." You see how the Lord used the word. He didn't say my people. Can he say my people when the people are making golden calf and worshipping some other gods? God cannot say that. You see, God did not do it for partiality or to put everything on Moses. You have to understand very clearly why the Lord excluded himself again. He did not use the word my people. He did not use the word I brought down. He says, "I don't recognize them. I don't know who they are." Because the Lord says, he is holy. His name, wherever his name is profaned, he cannot be in the midst of them. Fear of the Lord. The Lord says, "Hey Moses, look at your people. The people you brought out of Egypt." But Moses would have replied, right? If it was the same Moses whom the Lord met near the burning bush, he would have said, "What? Did I bring? It was you who called me to bring them." But Moses didn't say anything. Was it? Is it? My people are doing this. What he said? He went down. He didn't say anything to the Lord. Because that Moses was dead long back. That Moses who was fighting with the Lord until the anger of the Lord kindled against Moses, that was the true fire which burnt the flesh of the Moses. Not the burning flesh, not the burning bush. The anger of the Lord, when the anger of the Lord kindled against his servant, it's going to be either a blessing or a curse. Depends on how we take it. When the Lord chastens his children, it's going to be painful, but it will yield its fruit if we hold on to him. Now you see, when the Lord says, "Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." He did not put the blame on Moses. He said, "They corrupted themselves, but they are your people. You brought them out of Egypt, so you go down." Because God needed a glove. So he sent the glove from the top of the mountain, and now the glove is walking down the mountain. The same Moses who was climbing the mountain, God tells him, "Go down." You see, verse 8, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy God, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Verse 8 says, people of Israel worship the golden calf as if it is the God that brought them out of Egypt. Verse 7, God says, "Moses, you brought them from the land of Egypt." And Moses would say, "No, it is you who brought them from the land of Egypt." So there are three perspectives. People think some other God. God says, "Moses, it is you." And Moses will say, "It is you," but he didn't say that. He knows what he is supposed to do. Because Moses is a perfected vessel now, because he was spending time with God face to face. Remember? He was in the holy place of God. The presence of God is the holy place where you and me will be perfected. In your prayers, in our fellowship, in our gathering, if we are all united in one spirit, we are perfected. We are being perfected. And Moses, God, and people of Israel, they gave three different names to the one who delivered them from the hands of Egypt. Golden calf, some other gods. God said, "Moses, it is you." And Moses inside, in his heart, he knows it is you. But God says, they are not my people. That is the message God is delivering to Moses. He says, they are your people now. You see, now let's say we are a church of God right now. If we all hold on to some other faith, believing in Trinity or worshipping some idol here, when the Lord sends a servant to us, He cannot say, go and talk to my people. We are not His people yet. The Lord says, the Lord knoweth His children by those who stand firm on the foundation. Amen? Until then, He cannot know, He cannot see, He cannot hear, He cannot identify Himself with us, because we do not belong to Him until the point of time. When the Lord uses His vessel, because He is holy, He cannot dwell in the midst of filthiness. The vessel carries the burden, carries the shame, go to the crowd and preach gospel of peace and open their hearts, open their eyes by the Spirit of the Lord. When they understand the truth, like how people listened to Peter, accepted the Lord, baptized, then the Lord will say, the souls added unto them and to me. Now they are my people. The God, whenever the Lord says, my people, you see the chapter before, the chapter after that, you see what the people had done to claim such a price from the Lord to call them as my people. You see here, when the Lord told Moses to, He actually tells Moses, He's actually feeding Moses, take responsibility, take accountability. They are your people. Of course, yes, you haven't done anything wrong, but they are your people. He's reminding him. And when Moses goes down, verse 9 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people again, not my people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. I saw them, this people, they are stiff-necked people. Verse 10, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, that I will make of thee a great nation. Now he says, Hebrews, remember, our God is a consuming fire. The Lord says, Moses, leave me alone. I am going to consume them. I am going to burn all of them. Let my wrath may wax hot against them. Why he is telling to the Moses? He could have done that. He could have done that. But why he is telling to Moses? It's like, Moses, I am going to beat your child. Moses, can you listen to me? Where is my stick? I am going to beat him. He is waiting for Moses to run and say, no, don't beat my child. Don't beat my people. He is actually giving him all the tools, all the weapons, all the instructions, and he just waiting for Moses to come on, do it, do something good. That is why I am teaching you, that is why I am helping you to grow. Do something good to be worthy of my calling. Because he called him in the burning bush, and his calling needs to be proven. And that is the whole event was for actually Moses to prove himself. Peter proved himself by the Spirit of the Lord, by believing the Lord, by trusting in the Lord, that irrespective of how many times I denied, I am not the old man anymore. Those who feel weary, guilty of your past, do not think about your old man to stop your new man to do great things for the Lord. That is not from the Lord. If Peter thought I am not worthy, then the Holy Spirit cannot descend upon him. He cannot speak as the voice of the Lord. Moses was saying all those unfaithful stuff that we saw before. Now Moses, you see how Moses reflected the heart of the Lord to the people. You see, read this very carefully. Verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord and his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax against thy people? He says, why are you keep on calling me my people, this people? He reminds the Lord, Lord, they are your people. Why you want your wrath wax hot against your people? He puts it back to him. You see, it's like a courtroom. On one side, the accused people are worshipping some other god, golden calf, my God, my God. And God says, Moses, your people, your people. And Moses listened to God very carefully. Now he knows how to speak, because we know how Abraham bargained for the people. He goes to the Lord, Lord, everything is good. You sound perfect. Of course, you will bring your wrath upon people who are against you. You will pour down the fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah, destroy them. It's all true, I believe that. But why your wrath wax hot against your people? He puts it back to the Lord. Now he is actually standing in the gap. Now he is telling the Lord, I'm not going to let you do this. I'm going to argue with you. This time, the argument, do you think the Lord will be angry? It's a similar argument. Like last time, how Moses was telling, no, Lord, let's bargain, let's make some deal. But that argument resulted in anger of the Lord kindled against Moses. But this argument is going to please the Lord of how Moses is going to be steadfast, stubborn, in standing in the gap for him. Continue to read this. Which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. He put a question mark. He is asking question to whom? To the Lord. He is questioning the Lord. He didn't say, Lord, they believe some other God brought them out of land of Egypt. You tell me I brought them out of land of Egypt. But Lord, it is you who brought them out of the land of Egypt. Not simply, he says, with great power and with a mighty hand. When Jesus told the disciples, when the Comforter has come upon you, you will receive great power to serve me. Amen. You will receive the power to witness me in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, in all corners of the earth. Now Moses puts everything back to the Lord, says, with your great power, with your mighty hand, you deliver these people from the land of Egypt. Lord, stop, do not send thy wrath upon them. And not just that. Verse 12, he says, think about what the enemies will talk about this. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. See how Moses is talking to his God. You see how he is speaking. You see, when Moses says, Lord, think about what the Egyptians will speak. Who was he? Moses was called before Jethro, the father of Moses' wife. And the daughters, seven daughters, told the father, an Egyptian delivered us from the shepherd. Amen? And the Lord made the same Egyptian as the shepherd to deliver them from Egypt. Now the shepherd says, Lord, think about what Egyptians will say. He was Egyptian. He was in the palace for 40 years. And he says, I don't belong to them. I belong to you. He identified himself as Israel. Amen? And now, every word that Moses speaks here, you can see the knowledge and wisdom the Lord imputed in him. Because of the time that he spent with him face to face. Because of the journey that Moses was going through with the Lord in his presence, Moses was being perfected. Moses was reflecting the attributes of God himself. See, verse 13 he says, Lord, remember Abraham, Isaac and Israel. This rings a bell. It was God who told this to Moses, right? Okay, you want my name? I am that I am. But I understand, people won't understand this. So, you go and tell them, God of Abraham, God of Isaac and God of Jacob. He said that, right? But here when Moses tells, he did not use the word Jacob. Because the multitudes of Jacob became a nation of Israel already. You see, 70 souls entered Egypt when Joseph invited. Amen? 70 is not a nation. 70 is nothing but a group of people. But that 70 grew to be a multitude. Now, the same 70 is not 70 anymore. They are a nation. Now, Moses says, Lord, he says, remember Abraham, remember Isaac, and Israel, he said, Israel, remember Israel, these are people of Israel. This is your royal nation going to be in the future. And these 3,000 people who were baptized by Peter, they are nothing but the descendants of whom we are talking about right now. The only thing that separates them is time and the fulfillment of God's perfect will throughout the time, throughout the grace period. Same. Now, he says, to whom thou swearest by thine own self. Lord, you promised yourself and said unto them. He says, you spoke the word already. Cannot return in vain. He bargains with the Lord in his word so that the Lord cannot do anything other than show grace and mercy. He is actually cornering the Lord, and that exactly the Lord wants to be seen. You see, he says, I will multiply your seed at the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. My brethren, Peter was speaking to the crowd by reminding them what Prophet Joel said. Moses speaking to God by reminding him what he himself said. Both are same. If you believe the Lord dwells in his children. You see, And all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. When this step happened, 3,000 souls added to a foreign land, and that land belongs to the Lord now. And now, verse 14 says, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Exodus chapter 32, verse 14, never forget in your life. Moses said something, and the Bible teaches us, the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. In all other translations, you will see the word, the Lord regretted. Because it was mainly misunderstood. Who is Lord to repent? The Lord is not a man to lie. Why he should repent? So in all the other translations, you will see the Hebrew Greek translation as regretted. When the Lord said, I regret that I made Saul as a king, he said, I feel bad for what happened to him. Because of the love. See, whenever you see the word Lord regretted, you should not see the Lord made something wrong. No. The Lord regrets of our action, our attitude. We were made in his image and in his likeness, but still we behave this way. So he takes accountability and puts the burden on himself when he says, I regret because I made you. And he says, I regret I made Saul king. Remember, when the Lord destroyed all flesh of this earth by sending the flood, what we read? After all the flesh destroyed, the Lord said, I regret I sent this disaster to destroy all the flesh. He said, I won't do it again. Didn't he say that? He said, I won't do it again. Can we say the Lord made a mistake? Is there any mistake in the eyes of the Almighty? Is there any mistake the word, the perfect will can have? If so, then there will be plan B, plan C, plan D. There is no plan A, plan B. There is only one plan. Whenever we read the Bible, the Lord regretted, he put everything on himself. Yes, Moses. Yes, my friend. Yes, true. You just imagine that God and Moses are discussing over a tea and discussing about, you know, their life. And Moses said, you are going to send your wrath. Okay, let me speak sometime. He speaks some words. And Lord said, true, it cut to my heart. I regret for what I was supposed to do. So I'm not going to do. It is what Peter told the people and what people received. And now Moses talked to God in a godly way, being the perfect vessel of God. You see, when the Lord said, the glory of the Lord will fill the earth, to the extent that the Lord will always speak in plural. Let us do this. Let us do this because the Spirit is everywhere. Amen? His Spirit filled the earth. Now you see, Moses, how come Moses had such a courage to speak to the Lord like that? It was not Moses. Remember, every time when we think about Abraham who climbed the mountain to sacrifice his son, it was not Abraham. It was the Son of God who was led by the Spirit of the Lord himself. Abraham climbed the mountain to fulfill his promise, to prove his calling, and his faith was confirmed. Moses climbed down the mountain to confirm his faith. Do you see? Abraham went up to the mountain to sacrifice Isaac. By doing so, when he reached the place, the Lord fulfilled what he needed to do. Moses was on the mountain. The Lord said, go down. He went down to sacrifice who? Moses put himself on the line. Read this. Verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both the sides. On one side, on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, not the work of Moses. And the writing was the writing of God, not the writing of Moses, graven upon the tables. And then Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted. He said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. My brethren, when the Lord chose Joshua to be the next leader, when his servant was taken, do you know there is a reason why the name of Joshua is mentioned in verse 17 instead of Aaron? You see, Aaron's name was mentioned concerning the golden calf, people, what they are doing. Moses' name was mentioned when Moses was on the top of the mountain with God himself. And who told Moses to go down? God. Amen? But whom Moses met on the way? Joshua. But what Joshua tells Moses? Joshua presents his observation. Because he was like a spy always sent out by Moses, right? Joshua tells Moses, there is a noise. He didn't say cry. Because the Lord always listened to the cry of his children. Joshua said, there is a noise. It's not music. That's a noise. And this noise, not a noise of celebration, but noise of what? War. War against whom? The Lord. Joshua says, there is a noise, a noise of war. And when he says that, he's actually telling Moses, yes, you are on the mountain. I was watching over them. This is my report to you. And Moses received the word, and he continues to go down. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for the mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. Come on. Moses told the Lord, Lord, calm down, be quiet, be kind. Why you want to wax hot your anger against the people? But what Moses did here? Because Moses told all of this before he saw it, before he witnessed it, before he experienced it. But when Moses was thrown into the valley, until he saw the calf, he did not step into the valley. But whatever he spoke to the Lord was presumptuous, based on he was trying to be very kind to the people. But when he was in that situation, when the Lord threw you into the valley, that is when you know who you are. Until then, you never know yourself. And Moses says, he says, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and break them beneath the mount. Verse 19 is a warning concerning verse 16, the tables were the work of God. Remember the word very carefully. 16, the tables were the work of God, and the writings of the tables were the writings of God. What Moses did now? He threw the work of God, he broke the work of God, he broke the tablet out of anger, frustration. So when the Lord said, my anger waxed hot again, the word fulfilled. It was fulfilled through the scapegoat Moses. God just echoed himself, yes, I can escape now. I was supposed to be angry, but you always tell, you want to carry my word, okay, take it. I pass my anger to you, you go and show your anger to him. See, the word anger did not disappear because the Lord said, my anger wrath against them. Moses said, calm down, let me take care of it. He goes there, he becomes even more angry than the Lord, and he breaks the tablet. If Moses gets angry, the worst thing that can happen is tables will be broken. But there is one who can restore it. But if the Lord is angry, and if the wrath of the Lord was let out, there is no recovery. This is the definition of standing in the gap. Because Moses showed the biggest wrath he can show by breaking the tables. Lord, hide behind Moses. Yes, I regret. I shouldn't have done that. But you know what? I spoke the word. So you go and do it. He didn't say it, but actually he went and did it. But that anger is nothing compared to the original wrath that was supposed to be on the people of Israel. That is why we read in the Bible, cease without praying that you will escape the wrath of God. Escape from the wrath of God. Cease without praying. So now what Moses did, you have to think why the Lord allowed Moses to make a mistake. He was actually having a fantastic time on the mountain. Moses cannot see from the mountain what is going on with people. He don't have such an eagle eye. But the Lord can see. And Joshua was not with Moses. Aaron was not with Moses. So there is no cell phone to call Moses, hey, come down. Something is going wrong here. There is no one to pass the message. So God said, okay, something is going on with my people. There is no messenger. I am going to be your messenger. Moses, go down. Something is going wrong. And Moses went down, and he was doing certain things so that he would say a word that exactly what the Lord wanted to hear, to save the people of Israel. See, the tables broken was an important event for Moses to take some accountability of his anger resulted by the people's action. Amen? That verse 19 is very important because of what Moses is going to say later. Verse 20, and he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and stirred it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Whatever you did, he said, burn it, break it into pieces, make it as a powder, mix it in the water, drink it. take responsibility of what you did and do such things to put it upon yourself. Only after this, verse 21, Moses said unto Aaron, what did these people unto thee? What happened to you, man? I put you in charge. I put all the words in thy mouth as the Lord guided me. What happened to you? What happened to you because of these people? And see how Aaron responds to them. And he says, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them. Moses says, you brought such a sin upon them. Upon who? The people. What God told to Moses? I will be your God. You will be like God to Aaron. To Aaron, God said, Moses, you will be like a God. You will be as God to Aaron. And now Moses is inquiring Aaron. The way God was inquiring Moses. Moses, what happened to your people? The people that you brought down. Moses, come down. He goes to Aaron. Aaron, what happened? What great sin that you brought upon the people? You see how the words are being passed down. And Aaron says, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. What? This is exactly the same word Moses told God. God, let not your anger wax stone hot. And now Aaron says, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people and they are set on mischief. Now he said, you know your people. You see the chain of events and the words spoken in three layers. Top of the mountain, before the valley entered, in the valley, discussions going on, but in the same pattern. The pattern never changed. And verse 23, for they said unto me, make us God, we shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it up. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this skull. Now, Aaron says, it is not me, it is the people whom you delivered from the land of Egypt. There is someone else who said the same dialogue. Adam told God, it is not me, it is the woman whom you gave. It is not me, it is the woman whom you sent. Aaron says, it is not me, it is the people whom you delivered. And God says, it is not me, it is the people whom you delivered. Why such a discussion is going on? Utterance of the words back and forth. To be tossed and thrown. Moses and Aaron are going through an exercise prepared by the Lord. Joshua is also part of it in a silent fashion. For him, the responsibility is to observe everything and to tell Moses what needs to be heard. But what Joshua said was the exact understanding or the state of mind of the people of Israel. Noise, and not any noise, noise of a war in the camp. Whenever you see the word camp, do not forget, when Miriam spoke against Moses, the Lord set her outside the camp for 7 days. And the Lord said, one of you shall be outside the camp for 7 days, he or she cannot come in, the gates are shut. And the Lord says, that soul will come in when the time ends. Amen? The time was set by who? Moses? No. The Lord said 7 days. Amen? Now you see, verse 25, and Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. My brethren, because of who the people were naked? Aaron. Amen? It was Aaron who told them to bring the gold. It was Aaron who told them to make the golden calf. It was Aaron who allowed all things to happen. It was Aaron who made the people of Israel to look naked. It was Moses who saw the people of Israel look naked because of what Aaron did. When the sin entered in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they saw that they were naked. They were looking for something to cover themselves. They were hiding behind the trees. But they were called to be the trees of righteousness. But they were hiding behind the wooden trees. And when God came and asked for Adam, Adam said, it was not me, it was the woman you sent. When Moses asked for Aaron, Aaron said, it was not me, it was the people you sent. You see, when the people's nakedness was exposed because of what Aaron did as the intermediator, as the high priest who is standing between Moses and the people of Israel, who is standing between Moses and God and the people of Israel, what Aaron did, but did God punish Aaron? No. Was Aaron punished? No. Now you see, whenever we know, we read the word, when Jesus knew no sin, but he was made to be sin. He didn't do anything wrong, but he was bearing the shame of you and me, for all of us. He was carrying the cross. Why? Because the people put it on him. Because he cannot do anything against the free will of people. He was called to serve the people, and the people in one mind, in their evil consciousness, in one mind, they want to do this. As a high priest, he has no other choice other than to be a failure, together with them, to bear the shame upon him. And he did. You see, what Moses says is very, very important based on what we learned so far. How Moses' response that surpassed everything. 26. Where Moses is standing. Please read this carefully. Where Moses is standing. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, he did not stand inside the camp, he did not stand outside the camp, he stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. The Lord said, return unto me. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. When Moses says, come unto me, he says, run inside the camp when the time is still there. Because Moses knows time is running out. Why? The wrath of God is manifested to some extent through Moses by breaking the tables, because it's the work of God. My brethren, no one in this world can break the work of God. Amen? Can Moses can break the tables that was written by God? No. It was God who broke it. It was God who broke it. Because, can I say, oh, the Lord gave me this table of tablets. I can't hit it 1,000 times throughout my life. I can't break it. How can I break it? Who am I? A filthy righteous person. How can I break the one that was made by God, that was wrote by God? No one. The life in those tables were left because God left. God said, they are not my people, they are your people. When the presence of the Lord leaves, that table is nothing but a piece of stone. Those words are nothing but scribbles. There is no life in it. The table that was broken for the very first time, it was not the tablets of life. Those words are not life. If not, it wouldn't have been broken. It was broken because people rebelled, refused, and they were not in the state of mind. The day was not full. The day was not full for them to receive the tables. The Lord break it. He showed the anger to some extent. But not just that. When Moses saw, he was angered. And when Aaron told this thing, people were naked, Moses was even become more angrier. He goes to the gate of the camp. The Bible says, Moses stood at the gate of the camp. My brethren, when Moses says, who is on the Lord's side? Come this side. Cut to the heart. Circumcise yourself. Walk into the promised land. Camp, wherever is the presence of God, that is your promised land. That is my promised land. He is our promised land. Amen? There is no other place that is safer on this earth. And Moses says, run into the camp. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. What is the tribe of Moses? Levi, right? When Moses says, people who considers him, who accepts him, who treats him, who honors him in the Lord, they gathered unto him, and he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. My brethren, I want all of you to meditate on this verse throughout the week. I believe in Jesus' name, the Lord will speak to you. Verse 27 is extremely important because it was not something concerning outside the camp. The words are spoken extremely clearly written. It says, Moses said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword. Every time you read the word sword, remember what Jesus said, sell all your belongings, get one sword. And disciples said, don't worry, we have two. And Jesus said, it is enough. Sword, double-edged sword, the word of the Lord. That is the only sword that we know. That is the only sword we should know, that we should ever know in our life. There is no other sword in our life. And that sword also looks like a sword, but it's not a weapon. It says peace and love. Everything else on the other side of the double-edged sword, it is up to the Lord. Vengeance belongs to me. Judgment belongs to me. Destroying belongs to me. That's what the Lord said. On you, for you and me, hold on to love and peace. On the other side of the double-edged sword, life, death, the Lord will take care of it. And the Lord says, through Moses, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp. Whatever the gates that are in the camp of God, whoever are people inside the camp, sheep, wolves in sheep clothes, enemies, tags, beasts, whatever it is, everybody take the sword in the word, follow the Lord's word, and Moses says, go and do the cleaning, because it is not their cleaning, and the Lord is going to clean the people of Israel, or else he will consume all. You see, if Moses did not stand in the gap, God would have consumed every single one of them at that point of time. That's what he said. Now he says, slay every man his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about how many different? How many? 3,000 men fell on that day. How many? 3,000 men fell on that day. Die to sin to live in life. We were all dead to sin to be alive in salvation. 3,000 men were put to death by a physical sword. But actually here, Apostle Peter took the word, the spiritual sword, spoke the word, and the word went and cut every heart, and exactly 3,000 people died in flesh, died in sin, and they were born in Christ, and they were resurrected. I would say they were born again by the Spirit of the Lord, and the souls were added to what? Added unto them. When Moses did this, the golden calf was physical by gold. But even for these people, they were actually building their own golden calf. They were mocking them, they were amazed, they were persecuting, and Apostle Peter said, you killed the Savior, you killed the Master, and you killed the Lord of Lords. And those are the golden calf they were holding on to. Same, Simon was holding on to his biggest golden calf. I will be strong. I will shield my Lord. I will go and cut off the ear of the enemy. I will do anything to preserve my Master. Who are you to save your king? The king saves you. The anchor holds you. You are not the anchor of the anchor. And that golden calf was burnt, was fed back to Peter. When he denied Christ 3 times, when he repented, when he cried, when he repented, he realized what he did. And that Peter was dead. When Apostle Peter was born, when the Spirit rested upon him, 3,000 people were added to the camp. Whenever I say the souls added unto them, the souls are added to the camp of who? Camp of God. Miriam represents the state of the humankind. Lord created heavens and earth in 6 days. On the 7th day he rested. 8th day is a new beginning. Amen. 8th day we walk into rest. Eternity. 7 days. When the Lord said, Miriam, you spoke against my servant, you will be a leper. Your flesh will not be your original healthy flesh. You will be something carnal, something filthy, something sinful. You are outside the camp. Adam and Eve, you are naked. You are outside the Garden of Eden. The entire humankind was thrown outside the presence of the Lord. For around 6,000 years, they are walking naked with a leper flesh. And the Lord says, I will perfect you. When the Lord gives us glorious body, we will be put back inside the camp. Miriam, 7 days. Moses, 3,000 people. Peter, 3,000 people. The Lord's word always speaks the same truth in different ways and different revelations. Now, let's meditate on this. Moses did not talk to God ever since he told the Lord, I'm going down. Amen? After that, he spoke to Joshua. After that, he spoke to Aaron. But he has not yet made a single word of communication to the Lord. Because he's working. He's doing everything before the Lord comes. He's doing everything as fast as he can before the Lord comes and shows his wrath. He knows what to be done because he is led by who? He is led by the Spirit of the Lord. And here you see, verse 29, Moses had said, consecrate yourselves to the day to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Blessing this day, come on. They don't even know whether they will see another day because the situation is critical. And Moses says, he's actually prophesying, consecrate yourself and this curse will still be a blessing to you if you consecrate yourself in the Lord. And Moses is prophesying. Imagine the situation. The Levites are taking the sword and going killing people left and right, gate to gate, in and out of the camp. And Moses says, it's going to be a blessing to this day. How can you say this word? Blessing? People are dying. People are being killed. How many? 3,000 dead bodies are around. There are blood everywhere. And Moses says, consecrate yourself. It's going to be a blessing for you. This day. Same day. Moses did not say tomorrow. Moses did not say another day. He said same day. On the same day, 3,000 people were killed. He said the same day. Verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people. He says what Peter spoke in the reverse manner. Ye have sinned a great sin. Now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. What? Aaron was called to do all this sacrifice, atonement, everything. But Moses says, you have done a great sin. I will go up to the Lord and I will make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord. Return unto whom? He returned unto the Lord. Which means you have to understand he returned to the place where he was originally in. After finishing what he was supposed to do. My brethren, imagine Moses as a word. The Lord spoke from the mountain. The word went down the mountain, did everything supposed to do and come back to him again. You see, Moses was with God. God told Moses, go down. Moses went down, did everything to be done, then again come back to the Lord. But now, what the Lord was supposed to do, Moses done something before the Lord is going to say something. You see now what Moses says. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, these people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. He didn't say some other god, he said gods of gold. Some materials of this world, some vanity. And yet now, if thou will forgive their sin, he says, I cannot read your mind, you are gracious, you are merciful. Yet now, if thou will forgive their sin, and if not, you see how Moses speaks to God. Can you see the knowledge and wisdom the Lord imputed in him? Same Moses who was talking like a child near the burning bush. And now you see how he speaks when he is on that, on the top of the mountain. He is not at the bottom. He is again in the presence of the Lord, back to where he originally belongs. He speaks, if not, this single word, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. My brethren, Moses told the people of Israel, ye have sinned a great sin. I am going to make an atonement for you. Did he tell them, I am going to sacrifice my own self for you? Did he tell them? He didn't say that. Did he tell them, I am going to put my own life on risk to save you? Did he tell them? He didn't tell them. But what people call Moses, he is rude, he is pride, he is very angry. He thinks he is something, he is someone else. He always, boasts himself. When Miriam spoke against Moses, it's not a small thing, my dear brethren. Nobody knows each other in spirit. Only the Lord knows. Never, ever take the position to define someone of what your mind thinks. Your outward appearance is nothing when the Lord reveals things to you. You will be surprised. You will be humiliated. You will be ashamed by the Lord when the Lord opens your eyes. Moses was always seen as a very strict leader. Always rude, rebuking people, punching this. But he went to the Lord. Lord said, Lord, you see the word he spoke. You just think about the burden. Moses was so confident when he was on the mountain. There are two different Moses that you can see. Moses who was with God on the mountain before the Lord told him to go down. Moses who returned to the God after what he did in the wilderness in the valley. And Moses says, oh, these people have sinned a great sin. and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. My brethren, what Jesus said to the disciples? Hey, 70, are you happy? Look happy. You look very joyful. All good. You cast out demons. You heal people. All good. Do not rejoice because of this. But rejoice because of what? Your names are written in the book of life. And the joy, what Jesus was expecting the 70 souls to hold on to, Moses said, I am willing to sacrifice that joy. Take my name out of the book. How come Moses was able to say such a word when God said, hey Moses, you will be as God unto Aaron? Moses is setting an example. God, if I can do this, you can do better. If the servant of you, a creation of you, is willing to yield to this extent because of thy spirit, Lord, you are the spirit. He was pleading for the souls of Israel by putting himself in the lion. Because when the Lord sends the wrath, if he sees the child standing in parallel, how the fire can bypass? Cannot. Because the child will be burned. The child will be burned. The Lord would not let this happen. The burning bush would never burn the bush. Amen? The burning bush would never ever burn the bush. It always protects the bush. The wall of fire that is surrounding all of us, it would never burn us. It will always preserve us. And when the Lord listened to Moses, he hadn't spoken yet. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. When Jesus carried the cross for you and me, he wanted all to be saved. Amen? He said, I came for the sick. I did not come for the healthy one. He said, the doctor comes for the sick. I came for the sinner. All have sinned short of the glory of the Lord. What Jesus says, I came for the whole world because all have sinned. Never exclude yourself. Oh, that goes for someone else. I know the truth. That word is always for us. Every day, we have to hold on to that. Tomorrow, we don't know. But today, are we holding on to him to say that all have sinned short of the glory of the Lord, but Jesus came for me, and today I stand blameless on the foundation of God because of him? It can change tomorrow when you lose it. Now, Jesus told this to the 70 people that he sent out, and Moses, do not forget, Moses was nothing but from the same 70 souls who entered the Egypt when Joseph invited the same 70 souls to bring their father to Egypt. Amen? Moses was nothing but a small fruit of the 70 souls who became a nation. Amen? And now Moses says, Lord, you can take my name out of the book. And Jesus told the 70, do not rejoice for what you are doing. Rejoice because your names are written in the book. And Moses says, take my name out of the book. Is it anywhere lesser than what Abraham did on the mountain? Do you think that is greater, that is lesser? Never ever have comparison when the Lord is working through his children. Because it is the same Lord. Amen? He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Splitting the Red Sea is nowhere bigger than what Peter did on the day of Pentecost when he spoke. No miracle is greater or lesser. It's all the same because it was done by the great God. When Moses said, blot my name out of the book, it is nowhere lesser than when Abraham said, yes, I'm going to sacrifice my son. Same. Because the Spirit of the Lord is resting upon the servants. It is the Spirit witnessing with our spirit. It is the great God of heaven who is doing all things through our lives. No less or great. Almighty has no measure. Amen? Nothing more, nothing less. Almighty is almighty. Now, let's read this. The Lord says, yes, Moses, you can say whatever you want. It is very nice of you. It is very kind of you that you are willing to be perished. When you are willing to be perished, then there is life. When you are willing to lose, then you will gain. When you are willing to die, then you will live. Now, the Lord says, I can't do just because you ask me. Because he is God, he is holy. He can only take out the names whom he will take out and whom sin against him. And Moses was definitely not in the category. So whatever Moses was speaking against the Lord in his first meeting was not considered as a sin to God, because Moses did not know God at that point of time. The Lord was opening his eyes and heart to know him. But ever since he accepted the Lord in his presence, whatever Moses say, the Lord will inquire of him. Amen. Last verse. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit the sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Did he stop there? Verse 34 looks like a happy ending. But the Lord 35 comes and says, and the Lord plagued them because of the calf they made. By who? By Aaron. By who? By Aaron. See, when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, grace abounds, I'm gracious to you, I will lead you, I will guide you, I love you, it's all okay until the grace period is over. But when he comes with the iron rod, no one can stand against him. No one can withstand his, the ruling of iron rod. That is why grace is the time that is running out in the servants of God's life, that we should listen to his voice and do what pleases to him. There is no pressure. There is no stress. You know why? How can the Lord make you to do something for you, but you are stressed, you are pressurized, you are depressed? That is not the burden that Apostle Paul was referring to. When we hold on to the truth, we will be persecuted, we will be criticized, we will be tortured. That is different. But the restlessness, the disquietness, the worriness, the weariness is not from the yoke of the Lord. Amen? And the Lord tells Moses, did Moses was telling Lord, looks like there is no choice. So, as much as I feel very bad to say that, okay, take my name out. He didn't say that. He was all in to say, Lord, blot my name out of the book. But he put one request. If thou wilt forgive the sin. When Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said something. But he said, take this cup away from me, but let thy will be done. Why Jesus proposed an option? Because God is not limited by the word. In the beginning, there was word, and the word was with God. But the God was not word. Amen? Word was spoken by God. God is beyond the word. And we are part of the word. So which means the way the Lord, our Almighty, does things, his established thoughts, is beyond what we can think of. That's why Moses put himself in a shoe saying that, I am not here to say that this is the only way you can do, but Lord, if you can forgive them, it would be good. But if not, I am here, take my name out of the book. Jesus says, take this cup away from me, but let thy will be done. The words, when the people speak, when the Spirit of the Lord resting upon them, you will see the fulfillment of the word. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May the Lord guide us and speak to our hearts, as there are a lot of blessings that we can drink from this fountain of life. Actually, I wanted to talk about a different sermon altogether, but I thank the Lord. We discussed on something else that the Lord wanted. May the Lord guide us. May the Lord speak to our hearts. Let's all stand. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for blessing us by the revelation of how you speak to your servants. Lord, we learned from the life of Apostle Peter, oh Lord, if we do not believe, then you cannot do the great work in our life. Lord, we pray, help us to believe, only believe you, Lord, that you are able. There is no barrier that can stand against the work of God. And Lord, help us to be part of the word, and help us to be part of thy great journey, O Lord. Lord, we are not worthy. O Lord, we do not want to be the people of Israel who are holding on to the gold and made a calf for them, O Lord. Help us to stay away from our own strength of this world the carnal vanities of this world. Oh Lord, help us to always look up to Thee, O Lord. Lord, we pray that give us the sincerity in our heart to understand Thy calling, to spend time to have an intimate relationship with You, to listen to Your voice, to speak with You in the Word, O Lord, in Thy presence, face to face. Lord, we pray, help us to prove the calling of this ministry as You had purpose in Your heart. We are nothing without You, O Lord, and we surrender all of us into Thy hands, and we pray for Thy Holy Spirit to speak to us, to guide us, to teach us, and to break the bread of life for us, that we may learn more and more and understand that our life is nothing but a service to You and a service to one another in the church, and we are all servants to one another, and we all serve the Master and You, Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and You are the head of the church, and You are the anchor of this boat. And Lord, we pray, help us to always hold on to You. Thank You, Lord, for everything. Thank You, Lord, for today. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you, dear brethren.